Amen. We have learned much over the last few weeks about the person and the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've learned that He convicts, that He saves, that He regenerates sinners. It's the Holy Spirit's work to save somebody. You can't be saved unless the Holy Spirit first starts wooing you and drawing you and convicting you. And then once He saves someone, He takes up residence in the life of that new believer. Aren't you thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit tonight? And the Holy Spirit frees a sinner from habitual sin. Now, I don't believe in this life that you're ever going to be sin-free, but you are debt-free when you're talking about sin, because you'll never be hauled back into God's courtroom and pronounced guilty again. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. But the Holy Spirit, part of the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to set us free from habitual sin. He leads, He guides, He directs the believers. I was talking with John Kochenauer just a few minutes ago, right before the service, and God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, spoke to John. You mean God spoke out loud to John? No, John just was trying to, as best he could, follow the prompting and the urging of the Holy Spirit. And it saved a man's life down at the jail because he listened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides and directs believers. Somebody shout amen. He sanctifies us when He teaches truth so that we can live in the truth. He brings peace and harmony and unity. You want to know the reason our church is in such harmony right now? It's because of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, the devil would love to rip, roar, and divide and conquer down here, but the Holy Spirit that lives within us has us in harmony. And He gives assurance to the believer when we need that assurance. He provides power for living. He comforts. He brings joy. He blesses. How many of you have been blessed today? How about the young couple in the back? Have y'all been blessed today? Have y'all been blessed today? Say yes. Yes, all right. God just blesses us in the person of the Holy Spirit, doesn't He? And the Spirit of God gives us, we haven't talked much about this yet, maybe I'll cover this, but He gives gifts for service. He gifts believers. You are a gifted bunch of folks. And in fact, the Holy Spirit makes us so full and gives us such an abundance of life that His presence shows up in our life in such a way that He will flow out of our inmost being. And the Scripture says, like rivers of living water. I may preach on the river next Sunday night. A lot of stuff about the Holy Spirit and rivers and water and that kind of stuff. Say amen. And so in short, anything that's good, I think Billy said that this morning, anything that's good, anything that's Christ-like in our lives or in this church is due to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the manifest presence of God in our lives. I've said a mouthful already. But that's what we have learned, or been reminded of, I should say, here on Sunday nights. And sadly, you can miss out on all of these things and more when we quench the Spirit of God or grieve the Holy Spirit. There are many passages in the Bible that indicate that the Holy Spirit will withdraw His blessing in our lives and on our lives if He's not pleased with us. The word quench means to extinguish, to stifle, or to retard. Many times, we talked about the Holy Spirit being like a fire. I preached a sermon on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Spirit of God is characterized and symbolized as fire in the life of a believer. And when we quench that Spirit, we don't extinguish, really, put out the fire of the Holy Spirit, but you can stifle it. Or can you imagine making God sad? Well, we can grieve the Holy Spirit as well. The word grieve means to cause pain, to make sorry, or bring distress. Think of the things that cause you pain in this life. What are some of the things that cause you great pain? Or sorrow? You know, I'm going to tell off on my family, but it makes me sad when my family fusses and fights. Does that make you sad? That's not a fun time, is it? And when children disobey their parents, that's a distressing thing, is it not? Brings sorrow to our soul. And quenching and grieving the Holy Spirit is much in the same way as a father is with his children. And when that happens, God's people, a believer, misses out on the best that God has to offer. Misses out on his blessings. And the Holy Spirit, you know, is happiest and enjoying himself in the life of a believer in an atmosphere of love, joy, and peace. He likes it when it's like that. And he operates and moves and blesses and works and ministers in an atmosphere of love, joy, and peace. And so now, while the Holy Spirit can be grieved or quenched, that fire can be kind of stifled. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. One amen. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. You can't lose your salvation. Why? Because the Holy Spirit seals us until the day of redemption. When He comes to take up residence, He not only saves us and forgives us and justifies us and does all these wonderful things and sanctifies us, He seals us. He gives us a down payment, a guarantee of our salvation in the person of the Holy Spirit. But you can certainly, how many of you know you can lose the joy of your salvation? Woo! That's not a fun thing either. And you can lose the fullness of the Spirit's blessing. So what are the things that quench the Spirit's work in our lives? I spent way too long introducing the message tonight. But there are several things that I've come up with tonight through the Scriptures that quench the Spirit of God in our lives. And there are some others. But these are the main ones that I want to talk about tonight. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Have y'all got a lot of iPhones tonight or what? 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. First Peter 2:2 says this: as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. One of the surefire ways to quench the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer is failure to feed on the Word of God. Failure to feed on the Word of God. If you'll turn left to Hebrews, just a few pages to the left, Hebrews 5 and verse 12. Look at this powerful verse of Scripture. Failure to feed on the Word of God quenches the Spirit in our lives. It grieves the heart of God when we do not mature in Christ. Look at Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. Folks, this verse and other verses teach us that we're supposed to grow up in Jesus. We're supposed to mature in our faith. And what is the tool that God uses? What is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to mature us? The Word of God. And when we fail to feed on the Word of God, it quenches the Spirit of God. In the beginning, you know, it's like a baby. He gives the illustration here of that of a babe. And a baby begins receiving nourishment by what? Drinking milk. That's right. But eventually, that baby gets off the milk and gets on what? Solid food. I still like a good cold glass of milk, but I want to tell you what, I like a good hot piece of meat smoked on a grill like we just had out back. I mean, you move on to solid food, right? Well, it quenches. Now what is, just think about, Brother Billy's told us many times, just think about the Word of God and what it does for you. It nourishes you. It instructs you. It matures you, it convicts you, it challenges you, it motivates you, it blesses you, and it helps you to grow. The Word of God teaches you how to love one another. Some people are hard to love. And the Word of God teaches us how to love everybody, right? Teaches you how to make good choices. Young people need to know how to make good choices. And you're not going to make good choices consistently apart from the Word of God. So that's why it's so important for parents and even grandparents to pour the Word of God into their children. The Word of God teaches us how to pray, teaches us how to witness, how to live. Isn't it a shame? Wouldn't it be a shame for a child to grow up in your home and not mature? Well, sadly, our churches are full of baby believers who are still sucking on a baby bottle and got diapers on, and the first time the power of God shows up, they don't like it. One of the quickest ways to quench the Spirit of God is to fail to feed on God's Word. When it's not read, not studied, not received, not applied to our lives, the Spirit of God is hindered and quenched, and we remain as immature children. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a sad thing. You're missing God's best. I know who I'm talking to tonight. I'm expecting you all. Now, I know what you're thinking. I wish so-and-so was here tonight. Well, God's got you here, and you can pass this word along. Amen? And so that's the first thing. Failure to feed on the Word of God quenches the fire of God in our lives. You miss out on God's best, God's blessings, when you fail to grow and mature in the Word. And then there's a second thing. Look at Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And I need to move quickly here. Proverbs 26. And verse 12. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? Whew, there is more hope for a fool than for him." Pride and stubbornness will quench God's Spirit as quick as anything else. Pride and stubbornness. God hates pride. It's one of the seven deadly sins in Proverbs 6. God hates pride because of what it does to us. James 4:6. Throw that one up, my sweet sister. James 4:6. There it is. "But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." God will work against a prideful attitude. God works against prideful actions. Is that not amazing? Pride has been the downfall of so many. I think about my own life. Pride has often caused me to miss God's best. And it'll cause you to miss God's best. Pride is something that, pride's what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden. Pride's what got Lucifer booted out of heaven. And it is pride that'll cause us to miss out on God's best. So many times we want to follow our will instead of His will. Humility is what God wants to see exhibited in the life of His children. As a matter of fact, if you're willing to humble yourself, guess what? Just down three or four more verses from James 4:6 is James 4:10. Jump down to that one there. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will He do? He'll lift you up. Woo! On the other hand, if you're proud and you're exhibiting pride, prideful actions, He's going to resist. He's going to work against you. But He'll lift you up if you humble yourself. Isn't that a blessing? So pride and stubbornness will quench the Spirit of God. And here's a third thing. Ephesians 4, look at verses 30 through 32. Ephesians 4, 30 through 32. Here it is. Ephesians 4 and verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." There's that sealed deal there that I was talking about a minute ago. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor." What is clamor? You got a footnote on that? My Bible says loud quarreling. You know where I heard one of the most clamor? I saw clamor in the first degree years ago at my home church. Loud quarreling. I was just a young man, and it blew me away because it was happening between two older men that I really respected. And one of them laid hands on the other man's shoulders and began to shake him like this and said, "You are ruining our church." And I won't tell you what I wanted to go tell that man. I first of all want to tell him, it's not your church and it's not my church, it's His church. You know? But anyways, clamor. That's what that word means. Loud quarreling. Bitterness and anger. They will quench the fire of God in your life. They'll grieve the Spirit of God. Bitterness is like a poison. Man, it'll get in your life. And what does bitterness spring from? Unforgiveness, right. And it'll ruin you. God's desire is for us to forgive one another. In the wedding yesterday that I did in Jamestown, both of Will's my nephew, and I thank the world of him. But even his bride, Miranda, both of them picked out verses to base their marriage on that had to do with forgiveness. Isn't that pretty good for some young folks? Forgiveness. Because they began to understand they wanted God's best in their marriage. And in order to get God's best and God's blessing, you're going to have to learn how to forgive. Where would you be today if you hadn't learned how to forgive? And how do you learn how to forgive? You look at Jesus. And look what He forgave us of. Amen? So bitterness and anger. God's desire is that we might be tender-hearted and kind, not hard-hearted and bitter. Colossians 3:19 reveals that spouses are not to harbor ill will. Colossians 3:19, Ellen, throw that one up if you can, sister. There it is. Husbands, love your wives and do not be better. Oh, bitter toward them. That's a good word for all of us tonight. And so... all of that leads to wrath. Bitterness never... And by the way, let me say this. That grudge that you're holding, if you're holding one, it ain't hurting them. But it's eating you alive. Right? Ever been there? Well, you don't know what he did to me. You don't know what she did, Brother Cal. You better keep your mouth shut. No. It really doesn't matter what they did, because if you're a believer, if you're one of God's children, you got to learn how to forgive them. And to hold that grudge and that root of bitterness will spring up in your life, and you'll never get God's best. You'll never receive the blessings of God when you've got a bitter spirit. But y'all want God's best, don't you? So I'm like the little 9-year-old that came up to me at church one day and said, "Brother Cal, I'm going to learn how to be a better forgiver." And the grammar was wrong, but he's got the theology right. Amen? And so, gracious kindness. Romans 12, 19 through 21. Have you got those, sister? Romans 12, 19 through 21. Ooh, look at this. Beloved, does that not blow you away that God would call us beloved? Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. In other words, don't try to go get even, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Scroll down there. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Great advice for us tonight. The good Lord will take care of things. The good Lord always has a way of dealing the right cards to the right people, so to speak. If someone's done you wrong, God will take care of that. I've seen that happen over and over again, hadn't y'all? I won't use any examples tonight, but God has a way of taking care of things. Don't let your heart grow bitter, because you're going to miss out on God's best if you do. It'll extinguish the warmth and the power of God's presence in your life. And then there's one final thing I want us to talk about. Look at Isaiah 63:10. Now, Isaiah is talking here about the goodness of God and all the benefits and the blessings that he'd laid on them, and how he had become Israel's Savior, and how he had just ushered in grace and his presence upon them. Then all of a sudden, verse 10 of Isaiah 63 says, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy. And listen to this. And he fought against them. You ever thought about that? God fights against people when they're in sin and rebellion. And that's the last one. Sin and rebellion. Write those two down. Obviously, the thing that's going to short circuit God's blessing and God's power in your life is outright sin and rebellion. In cases like that, God works against us. Israel knew what God expected of them, didn't they? And yet they rebelled against him. But let's don't leave us out. We know what God expects out of us. And when we don't operate in obedience and truth, same thing happens to us. That thought there just almost scares me to death, that God would fight again. Now, how many of you know, if you're in a fight with God, who's going to win? You are not going to win. He does. Old Jacob found that out. But you know, we're just like, look at Hebrews 10:31. We don't like to read verses like this in our day. But it's in the Bible. Hebrews 10:31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Jonathan Edwards, in the First Great Awakening, preached a sermon on that one verse. And the Spirit of God fell on Northampton Church up in Massachusetts, and people started grabbing on to the church pews so they wouldn't slip off into hell that day. People were screaming and crying because they got a vision of what it is to fall into the hands of an angry God. Can I say this as loving as I know how? There are two sides to God. But you do not hear about the wrath of God anymore. All we want to hear about is the love of God. But I want to tell you, you look at Jesus on the cross, Isaiah tells us that God the Father put God the Son on the cross. That's how much He hated sin. And that's how much He loves you. Sin and rebellion in the life of a believer will short circuit the power and the presence, the blessing of God in the life of a believer. Now, and when I have found myself in rebellion, I've told you all, I don't spend a lot of time talking about this, but I've told you, I've shared my story with y'all from the time I was about 19 and a half to 24, 25. I was living for Cal Hampton instead of him. And I was trying to satisfy my wishes and my desires. Now, Melissa, I wasn't out selling dope or anything, okay? But I wasn't living for Jesus. Y'all got my drift? And I want to tell you, at the end of that period in my life, I didn't know whether I wanted Snap, Crackle, or Pop for breakfast or oatmeal. And to be honest with you, I bought a house when I was 21, and I didn't even have any Snap, Popple, and Crack. Sugar Pops is what I'm talking about, in the pantry. I mean, I was so depressed and so confused and so messed up, I didn't know what was up and what was down. I was so guilt-ridden and so ashamed and so embarrassed, I'd try to pray at night when I laid my head down on the pillow, and I couldn't even pray. When a believer's in sin and rebellion against God, he or she's not going to win. But I had a sweet mama who was praying for me. Joel 2:25, it says, God, restore the years the locusts have eaten in my son. And God's done that, you know, by His grace. So I'm living proof that you can quench the Spirit of God in your life, you know. There's some other things I could have talked about tonight that quench and grieve God's Spirit. Things like injustice, apathy, indifference towards spiritual things. All of those, sowing discord, immorality, idolatry. There's a lot of things that can hinder God's flow in your life. But I want to tell you, God's love is really amazing, isn't it? He's like a... Sometimes God, in my devotional time, it's like He's like a kind, loving Father. And I just want to crawl up in His lap and sit there and let Him minister to me. And then there's other times when I don't sense Him quite that strong. But I want to tell you, God's always there. And He's always with us. And He wants to bless His children. And we have unhindered fellowship with Him. He's given us His presence in our lives to bless us and to get His will done. And you hear this, brother, get in the Bible, study your Bible, apply the Bible, do what it says. And you hear this from me probably more than you want to hear. But brothers and sisters, if you want God's best, it comes through surrender and obedience. You remember the old song, Dwight? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Are you willing to surrender all to Him tonight? Are you willing to obey Him? Are you willing to do what He tells you to do? Well, guess what? You can, because you have His Spirit in you. And He wants to bless you. He wants to give you His best. And He wants to do more through you and for you and with you than you ever dreamed. I don't care how old, how young, where you came from, where you are now. God wants to use you to do a great work in your life and through the life of this church and in this community. And I want to be dead level honest with you. I want to make sure that we don't quench the Spirit of God, that we don't grieve God's Spirit. And Sunday in and Sunday out, there's some Sundays, there's some days, and I look at our people. It's not every Sunday I can see that. But there are some days when I know God's dealing with people. And they get up and walk out and never say a word to anybody. It is an awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Don't quench God's Spirit. Which one do you want? You want God's best? You want God's blessing? I've been the other direction. You don't want to go there.